Well, brethren, there's a story about a young boy and his mom who were walking down the street one day, and they met a neighbor who was returning home from a store with a whole bag of groceries. And the neighbor came over, and the little boy, and he gave him an orange. And the mother said to her son, "And what do you say to the kind man?" And looking at the man, the boy said, "Peel it." Well, one of the most important areas, brethren, in our being Christians is how we react to God's hand in our life and what he's doing for us. We need to be looking carefully at our spiritual condition, and especially today's title of the sermon is going to be Ingratitude, a Deadly Subtle Sin. Ingratitude, a Deadly Subtle Sin. Now, while viewed as a common human flaw of human nature, it's not considered to be sin by most people. They don't look at it in that way. Yet, in reality, it's morally wrong and one that separates us in our relationship with God because we don't see the seriousness or do all that we can to avoid letting it be part of who and what we are. We don't see the seriousness of it or do what we can to be making sure that we are not involved with that. Now let's turn to the book of 2 Timothy. I think you've been there before. Actually, it's 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, here Paul includes this character trait that we're talking about, describing the condition of people just before Christ returns. These verses that he lays out here is telling us what's going to be happening before Jesus comes back. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now that word, relating to how these other items are going to be spoken about here by Paul, that word perilous times is reflecting a breakdown of character. The perilous times we're coming onto is not just going to be the horror things coming out of the world. It's going to be what's happening with people, that they're going to have a breakdown in their character. He says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful or ungrateful, unholy." Now this attitude, brethren, makes us unpleasant to others and it separates us also from God. Now Paul here, he'll go on through a few more verses and he lists a total of 18 different things that we need to be seriously examining for ourselves. But today we want to focus on this one thing that he mentioned, being unthankful. Let's end it now in verse 5. He goes on and says, "They were having a form of godliness or holiness, but denying the power thereof, and from such turn away." They were denying the power that God gave. They were not being thankful for what God has provided for them through all these other items that he was listing here, these 18 things that we're all humanly going to be guilty of. Having a form of godliness. So people can see, oh, they keep the Sabbath, they keep the holy days, yeah. They tithe, they're all nice things they do. But yet they are not putting it inside of them. They have a form of godliness, but they're denying God's power. So Paul is relating that an indicator of the end times will be self-love and self-gratitude. Thanking ourselves only. So whenever we're ungrateful, we're denying the power, the help, or the gift that we receive from God. The definition of ingratitude means poor return for kindness and received a discreditable lack of gratitude. A lack of gratitude. Not appreciating or valuing what you have or what you've been given by someone wanting to help you. We're not thankful that people are wanting to help us. How many things are people doing that are good and caring for others that they don't appreciate it or take notice? We often think of the synonym thankless, which doesn't sound as nasty. Thankless doesn't sound to people like a nasty word. But more real are the words like boorishness, which is crude insensitivity, callousness, disloyalty, inconsiderate, rudeness, thoughtlessness, benefits that are forgotten, ungratefulness, lack of appreciation. These all describe this common weakness that we have and too often that we find in ourselves. And it grows deeper. It grows into a deeper meaning to what is viewed by many with these all these other synonyms that people don't see in ingratitude. They don't see that in that way. What this subtle sin unknowingly produces in us. Now we'll look here. I looked into online. I found a study conducted at the Virginia Commonwealth University. And it says that ungrateful people have a higher risk of mental disorders such as major depression, generalized anxiety, disorders in how they live and act. Never ending a state of dissatisfaction. Never ending, to be always dissatisfied. Antonyms for this word is appreciation, gratitude, consideration, being thankful, gratefulness. It's a mindset. Being grateful is a mindset. How we view things and what we've been receiving and having. Or the established set of attitudes held by someone that makes people happy. There are things that people are doing that make us happy. And that gratefulness is going to be showing it to them and how we're reacting. And that will make us happy because we will be positive, not negative, when we're thinking this way, in a grateful attitude. So unthankfulness and unholiness make the times perilous, and these two commonly go together. Unthankfulness and unholiness, both of them are the same. Ingratitude is considered to be dishonorable, not respectable, and humiliating, and deserving of disgrace or shame. But we don't think of it too soon until things really get bad. Then we come up to see something that will give us shame. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's notice the consequences of ingratitude toward God and why God had punished Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We know, brethren, that God owns all things and gives according to his good pleasure. To his heart and desire to give good to people that he wants to provide for them. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47. Let's turn there. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 47. I'm sorry. He says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, meaning being ungrateful. You did not serve God with joy and happiness for all that he did and he provided. Verse 48, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. So we see here serious consequences that God provides for people who don't show the thankfulness and gratitude for what is being done for them, whether it's God or even other people are doing for us. Turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Not being grateful, brethren, will eventually lead to other deadly sins due to rejecting God and his blessings. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. We'll start there. I'm reading this in the NIV version. Romans 1, verse 21. Paul says here, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor expressed gratitude to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. They became blind, unseeing, not able to see and understand things because they were not showing gratitude for God, the things he's done. Verse 22, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. So it corrupts, brethren, our thinking and becoming spiritually blind, not able to see the most important things in our life that come from God. Verse 23, reading from the American Standard Version. Verse 23, it says, "And change the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed beasts and creeping things." They were making images to it to admire them and worship them in that way. I remember before we first came into the church, before we started attending, of course, we had things in our house that would sit on the tables, on the stove, or on the counter, little statues of people like Mary, Joseph, and others, and the little animals that they had with them when Jesus was born, of course, that we've seen every day in the newspaper and TV in the last few weeks. We had them on our table, and then we came to realize we got to get rid of this stuff. This is not something we should be looking at as important. But he's showing us here that they changed the glory of the incorruptible God and the likeness, and they were worshiping images of other things that came from mankind. He says, therefore, God gave them up to lust of their flesh unto uncleanness, that their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. Become ashamed now for what they've done. For they that exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who bless forever, amen. Recognizing that God is the one in control and makes the decisions to let us know what's right and what's wrong. So this changes our view, brethren, of God and opens the door to idolatry, putting other things more important than God, and brings curses upon themselves, as we saw here in Deuteronomy and in Romans. So ingratitude, being a subtle sin, means that it's not immediately obvious and it can go unnoticed because it's subtle. It doesn't look like that bad or important. And appearing to be a simple lack of appreciation rather than a deliberate act of malice. And it can creep into our lives without reflecting how much it affects our relationships or attitudes towards the blessings that God has provided or for others, so that we can have significant consequences as well. So we've got to be careful, brethren, that we don't realize that this ingratitude is a subtle sin that we don't see as that bad, because it's not a big deal. We're not being openly mean about it. Let's look at some reasons why people do not show gratitude. The first one is that we tend to take things for granted. It means to underestimate the value of that person or thing that we received. We take it for granted. And to expect someone or something to always be available. They're there. Yeah. My wife is always there to take care of my food every day. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to be thankful for it. That's her job. She does that. In short, it's to give little or no value to that person because we think we automatically deserved it. So we don't have to be thankful for anything because it was deserved. They are there to serve us without any recognition or thankfulness. Taking it for granted. Turn to Luke chapter 17. Let's look at an example of this type of person. See, what effect do we have on others who show kindness to us whenever our response to them is ingratitude? How do they feel about that? Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. It says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there came to him men who were lepers. And they stood afar off, because they couldn't get near anybody, because he'd passed that stuff on. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said unto them, go and show yourself to the priests, which was what people would do to see how they were healing or growing. Go show yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they went away, they were cleansed. As soon as they started leaving, they were cleansed of this problem. Verse 15. Now one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face to Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed at the time? But yet, where are the 9? Where are the other 9? Verse 18, were they not any found who returned to give glory to God? Well, only this one guy did, except this foreigner did. Verse 19, and he said to him, to the one who came back to give glory and thanks, he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. His faith made him well. He's letting him know here that this gentleman believed that the blessing was from God, and he glorified God in giving thankfulness to him. And he had faith to come to him to ask for the help. And when he got it, he thanked him for it. Did the others all consider where this healing came from, the other nine? Or what happened? Was it a matter of luck? How lucky, brethren, are we? Or how unlucky are we when things are going either way in our life that we're not thankful for, or we're not seeing it? Do we question what was blessings from God? We think, will it last? Will this blessing he's given me last? Because I need a lot more time to get this done. Is it going to last that long? Or maybe I'll just get better if I just leave it alone. I won't bother with it. The word glorify here means to exalt in worship, to honor, to praise highly. Gratitude shows glory. Whenever we're showing thankfulness to somebody, we're showing glory to God for him providing a blessing for us, whether it's from him or he made others provide blessings for us as well and being kind to us. Too often we're beset with negativities in our life. Yet there are so many things that we can give glory to God for if only we stopped and think and meditate on how God is giving toward us. Do we think about that? Or again, do we just take it for granted? Or do we take everything that he provides for us without noticing his hand? Now, brother, we can't hear his voice by reading. We don't see that. But surely Jesus was saddened that he gave one, that one, only one gave him God's praise. It must have been sad for him to see that. These other nine did not see that God provided something for them. So, brethren, how do we react to those who help or showed concern for us? Not just from God, but other people as well. Turn to Psalm 35. We'll see here that David expressed a feeling of betrayal by those that he had helped. Psalm 35 and verse 11. Psalm 35, verse 11. False witnesses did rise up, and they laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good. They were accusing him of things, making negative to him about things that he said, I didn't even know about that. They rewarded me now evil for the good things, to the spoiling of my soul, to hurting me, making me feel very sad for what they did. Verse 13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was like sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. My prayers returned unto my own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or my brother. And I bowed heavily as one that mourns for his own mother. When this other guy was having a hard time and struggling, I bowed down heavily in concern for him, like it was my mom suffering in that way. I felt that bad for him. So ingratitude, brethren, can cause pain to others who, like David, were loving and caring. And what is that doing? It's rewarding evil for good. We're rewarding people evil, making them feel sad and depressed for what they did that was good. So it was hurting him to see how, after many times, he did wonderful things for them to help them as a family. So we see how this can cause pain to others, especially those that have a caring heart. We take for granted, brethren, that someone provided an act of kindness rather than make light of their love and compassion. Proverbs 17, verse 13, you don't have to turn there. Proverbs 17, verse 13 says, if you repay good with evil, evil will never leave your house. God says, you'll be punished with this evil that you have. If you're going to provide evil for good people, you're going to repay them with evil things, you're never going to have evil away from your house. As long as you live, evil is going to dwell in your life. Another reason that people are this way is that it's a human tendency is to forget, to be forgetful. Deuteronomy chapter 8, let's turn there, verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. It says, when you have eaten and are full, Then you shall bless or thank the Lord, for your God has given you the land which he has provided for you. Verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you this day. Verse 12, otherwise, when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwelt in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied, all that you have is multiplied. All that things, he says, you haven't thanked God, but you're doing a lot of things on your own. He says, otherwise, when you have eaten and drunk and you built all these things yourself, you're proud. Verse 14, so when your heart is proud or self-focused and you forget that the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage, all this that you've done, that he did for you rather, where are you showing the gratitude? Even that you have to do your own thing, that's going to make you happy? So where is your gratitude and thankfulness to God? Obeying God will result in his blessings. And they were not obeying God. They were not keeping his commandments. So God then was not going to be blessing them. So whenever we forget that God did all his blessings, we're looking for trouble. Going on in verse 18 in Deuteronomy 8, continuing there. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained for me this wealth. Oh, look how thankful he is to God. Yeah, I did all this is from me. Verse 18, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish this covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So it's not because you did a great job on your job. How about the fact that we forget that God provided a job for us? He got us the ability to have a job. When I got my first job in sales, I had mentioned this probably a couple of years ago, another sermon I gave. When I had received a job, I was not thinking I was going to be worthy to take the job because it was going to be a different kind of a job altogether. But someone who suggested that I go there to this place because he says, and I said to him, well, I don't think I deserve, I qualify for the job. And the fellow said to me, well, he says, I wouldn't have asked you to go there if I didn't think you qualified for it. So I went for the interview and I got the job the very next day. It was incredible. And the fellow that suggested it was a very close friend of mine in the church, another minister with me in the church at the time. So God provides things for us, brethren, in a way that we don't even realize that. He says they thought that they were getting all the wealth from themselves. No, God was making it available, but they didn't see it from him. Now that word remembered there that he was telling them, remember, a primitive root meaning properly to mark or to be recognized, by implication, to mention, to be mindful, to recount. So in remembrance repeatedly. In other words, don't forget it. Keep it going. Don't forget where it came from. Keep your gratitude and thankfulness going in the right direction to God. Verse 19, he goes on in chapter 8 again. He says, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. And being obedient would have provided the blessings which they didn't want from him. They wanted it from others or from themselves. So we see here the damage that it causes and how we don't view God properly. Why do we forget what has been done for us? Selfishness, brethren, produces a lack of appreciation and no need of gratitude because they didn't want what they believed. They didn't want what they believed was expected of them. Not to be keeping his commandments that produces blessings in him. They didn't see that of any need. So we should never forget what God has provided for us. Turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. We should never forget, brethren, what God has provided for us. We'll notice here in David's account of his gloom or sadness when he looked back from what he went through to the point of his wondering if God would even cast him out. Would God even do that for him? Psalm 77 in verse 10, David says, and I said, this is my infirmity or my problem. but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. He's acknowledging that the infirmities he had, he says, were my problem. Things that I brought on in my life that were bad and wrong. But yet I will remember the years of God's with me, the time he was with me. I won't forget that. Because sometimes initially we'll forget it, but we have to be careful that it will come back. We will then remember, yes, God was there for us and did things for us. So in spite of whatever he went through, he said he had to stop that. I can't look at the negative aspects of what happened in my life. He said, I have to stop and look back at the wonderful things that God has done for me. Brethren, we must come to see that we're not to focus negatively on issues or problems that we may face in our lives, whether it's personal or health or spiritual. Don't focus negatively on those things. Because whenever we take our focus off of how wonderful God is, we're not remembering his blessings of the past and not seeing that God is still working with us, and not necessarily maybe the way we expect it to be, but he's there. Notice in Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1. A psalm of David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verse 3, who forgives all our sins, excuse me, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. So no matter what we're dealing with or going through in a trial, remember he says that God's excellent righteousness and judgment is for all that are oppressed. He is there for them. He's not limited for all that he can do for us. So don't look bad at the things that are happening in our life. Again, whether it's physical, spiritual, health-wise, or whatever. So another tool that we are to be using for us not to forget God is to write things down so that we don't forget. Write things down so we don't forget. Sometimes we tend to forget how much God's promises to be involved in our lives. So we should keep a record of those things that he's done for us in the past. How many things did he provide for us? Those miracles that he had. So God has given us a book that is full of examples of his blessings and his promises. He says, who heals all your diseases. All things, he says. God doesn't have limitations to what he can do. So it seems that we hear more and more people today complaining about their health problems that are very serious. But yet some have forgotten about God's miraculous power that he has. Now, I'll give you another example of something that happened many years after we first came in the church. I started to have a really serious mole on my neck. And this lasted for 20 years that I had it. 20 years. And as time went on, it got worse and worse and worse, being more noticeable and big. And that sometimes it would even bleed a little. And even to the point where I was working in sales for all those years, even in the summertime, I had to go to work every day with a suit and tie on and a shirt like this so that people wouldn't see my neck. Because there were people in my company that I worked for, if they were in the warehouse and I was in there, and they'd see it, they'd go, whoa, what is that thing? You better go take care of that before it kills you. I had been anointed, and I had believed that God was going to take care of it. And it hadn't happened in the timeline that I had expected it to go away or stop. So one time we were at a feast site, and I was giving my last message that day at the feast. And as I was all done, I said to the people, goodbye, because they were going to be going home. But it was more than goodbye going home. I was thinking of goodbye, I'm not going to see you again, because this thing has gotten worse and worse. Matter of fact, I had been to a chiropractor, and he called me up and said he talked to his very good friend that was a surgeon. And the guy told him what he described for him to me, he says, was a type 4 cancer on my neck. So that we went away, and that was the end of that. And about a month and a half later, all of a sudden, one day, the thing fell off my neck. And this little tiny strip came out, and I pulled on it, and it came out. And in about a few days, my neck was completely smooth as the other side. It was totally gone and removed. So it was by God that that happened. And as you could see, it's been over 20 years that that's happened, that I had it, and all more than 20 years that it went away, actually. It's been all this time, and I've never forgotten it. How many other things, brethren, has God done for us that we have forgotten, that he's blessed us, that we can write down in that paper and remind us when trouble is coming along to look at the paper and say, oh, yes, he was there for this and this and this. Psalm 119 and verse 71, you don't have to turn there. David said again here, he says, but it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes, that we can learn something from the things we're going through. Sometimes God allow us to get sick so we can learn something or lose a job or have problems in some areas. And that yet we forget that God is involved in our lives in every way, that he's there. So we need to show our gratitude for all things, not just what we feel is good for us or that what we want. Romans 5 and verse 3, you don't have to turn there either, but Paul says here, and know not also, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulations work patience. So, you know, other Romans chapter 8, we're told all things work together for good, that God will provide for those who love him and believe him, that he will provide it for us according to his will, of course. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says here, unless I should be exalted above measure, spiritually proud, and become self-confident, through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, and the messenger of Satan buffeted me, and to smite with hand to afflict him, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Not once, not twice, three times he went and asked God. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities. He realized God is telling him something here that he needs to know, that he didn't take care of it as quickly or in the way he expected it. But God says that my strength is made perfect in weakness. And most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So we come to see, brethren, Christ's and the Father's power in us when we depend on him and look to him and don't get negative or upset or sad because it's not happening the way we are. Another area of reason is too often that we're not content. We're not content with our current condition. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's go there. See, we're just never satisfied. We're not content. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that, won't we? Won't we be content? Those who want to get rich or not being content fall into temptations and a trap and into many foolish and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. So what will not being content do? It'll cause destruction. Contentment is a state of peaceful happiness, satisfied, and pleased with what's going on. So we become upset or complain because things weren't going exactly the way we expected them to go. Philippians chapter 4, let's turn there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. Philippians 4, verse 10, Paul says here, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you didn't have the opportunity to change to help me. Verse 11, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content of whatever circumstances. Verse 10, he says, I know what is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living or in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me the strength. Verse 14, yet it was good for you to share in my troubles and my distress. Now, again, here, I didn't clarify it in the beginning, but Paul here was thanking people for their concern for him at the time, what they were doing to help him, that they came here, but they didn't have the opportunity at first to do it. But he says how he had to learn to be content. So Paul showed his appreciation for their concern and his not looking for more gifts. He expressed his understanding that contentment comes from what God provides. So what can we do to keep this subtle, deadly sin from being separating us from God and bringing misery to our lives? The first thing is we have to understand God instructs us to be grateful to him. We're to be grateful to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ in you. In everything give thanks to God. So we're being told here what we should be doing is giving thanks to God. That is gratitude. And it's acknowledging what we have received. To be grateful means under obligation. To be indebted, to be deeply appreciative. It's to be impressed with a sense of kindness received and then show the gratitude. Who gets the credit and the glory for what we have? It's got to be God the Father because he wants us to show our gratitude to him. How often do we thank him for these blessings? So being unthankful reveals a real character flaw of being self-absorbed. The fruits of gratitude, brethren, giving thanks makes people happier and more resilient. It strengthens our relationships. It improves health, and it reduces stress by how we live, giving glory to God and pleasing him by obedience. We just don't expect God to give us the blessings for no matter what we're doing in our life. No, we've got to be obeying God so that we can see that he understands that we know who he is and what he's doing for us. We're not taking it for granted and not obeying him, saying, well, I don't have to do this that God says. I don't have to keep the Sabbath. I don't have to not work on the Sabbath, okay, because I believe God will still take care of me. No, we've got to be obeying God's word in everything. First Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 8. You don't have to turn there. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. So here God is letting us know that we are to share with others what blessings that God has provided. Just don't take things for granted for what's happened, but share them with others. Goes on in verse 9, he says, sing to him, sing praises, sing psalms to him, talk of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who rejoice who seek the Lord. So we should be, those who seek and rejoice before the Lord should be speaking out to others and let them know how good and grateful God is, gracious God has been to us. Verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Verse 12, remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. So we need to replace it with the virtue of gratitude in what we're doing. Let's turn to Romans chapter 16 and beginning in verse 1. Romans 16 and verse 1. Paul says here, I commend you to you, Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own lives for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, then, he says, salute the church that is in their house. And he says, greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first fruits of Archaea of Christ. Verse 6, greet Mary, who labored much for us. So he's numbering a number of people who have been doing many good things in the church to show gratitude. How thankful are we for people who have done things for us in the church, whether it's personally or within the church congregations when we get together and are doing things? Are we showing gratitude for them? That word greet that he uses there, or salute, means to embrace, to enfold in the arms, or to welcome. So when he says salute the churches or greet my beloved, he's showing, emphasizing to enfold in the arms, to welcome them. So Paul is showing thanks and recognizing to others how brethren have been helping, and then we need to be showing thanks as well. Do we show gratitude to others who have shown kindness, or are they expected to do their job? That's what they're supposed to do. Another aspect of this part is that we are have a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Turn to Leviticus chapter 7. The book of Leviticus is used to show holiness and thankfulness, as is seen in the different offerings and sacrifices that are laid out. A sacrifice is something that we offer up to God. Leviticus 7 and verse 11 says, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings that one may offer to the Lord. Verse 12, if he offers it for thanksgiving, then he shall show offer with the thanksgiving sacrifice of unleavened loaves mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers smeared with oil, and loaves of fine flour mixed with oil. So he's saying here that this peace offering here, he says, if it's offered with thanksgiving, it shall be offered with thanksgiving sacrifice, with sacrifice that he's making available. We are sacrificing ourselves to God. We are a sacrifice. We are the thankful sacrifice that he's making, that he's going to be hearing from us. So this offering was a peace offering, but it was offered so the persons could show how he was grateful to God, because all that he had came from God. Let's drop down to Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 29. Leviticus 10, 22, verse 29, he says, and when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. On the same day it shall be eaten, and shall give, I'll leave none until morning. I am the Lord. So this wasn't something he was commanded to do at this point. He says, if you offer a thanksgiving sacrifice, offer it on your own free will. Make that decision to do it, because it's what's going to be happy, showing happiness to God as well. On the same day it shall be eaten, you shall leave none of it until the morning. I am the Lord. Ah, chapter 7 and verse 15, you don't have to read that, but it says after the third day of the offering, it would not be accepted. So whenever they offered an offering, they had to do it right away. They couldn't wait 3 days to offer it, because offering that Thanksgiving offering the same day, you're showing God the gratitude right away. You're not saying, I'm going to make an offering today and I'll thank you in 3 days or 4 days or next week. So it was a voluntary offering to be done right away, not to be put off or become lax and letting it go for days and days. Till eventually what will happen? Oh, we forgot to make the thankfulness to him. We forgot to say thank you and praise God. So it was never done begrudgingly or out of necessity. It was done of our free will, meaning our decision at that time. So when God has blessed us, how long will it be before our thanksgiving is offered to him? The New Testament shows that we're to be applying a spiritual offering of praise and thankfulness to God. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, only two verses there, you don't have to turn there. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, it says, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of peace to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips and giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate and to forget not, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. So we're not to forget, and God will be then well pleased because we're showing him the fruit of thankfulness to him by thanking him. Turn over to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 here, we'll see David, who we've seen him a few times today in this message as far as David is concerned, and his life and all that he went through and the things that he had to deal with. So many times in the Psalms are written of his suffering and his thankfulness and his blessing. Psalm 51 in verse 16. He says here, "For you desire not a sacrifice, else would I give it. If you desire, that you delight not in burnt offerings," verse 17, "the sacrifices of God are a broken and humble spirit, a broken and a contrite or obedient heart. O God, you will not despise." He's saying here, God, you're not looking for a burnt offering sacrifice here. You're looking for a sacrifice of a broken spirit and a contrite heart, or obedient. So how do we show our gratitude? With a sincere heart and showing our praise to God by how we are living and how we are giving ourselves to him as a sacrifice for what he's doing for us. So too often, brethren, we're not using God's word to understand the importance and the need of sacrifice and praise, but to have allowed Satan's influence of pride to make light of the importance of our gratitude. We're so full of ourselves that we don't see that God's involved in making us happy with blessings. How can we offer ourselves? By how we are living, God's will, not ours. Selfishness is the destruction of thankfulness. We need to take our minds off of ourselves and begin to consider how are we living before God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Ephesians 5 and verse 11. It says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, or those that are blind, that can't see God's word because they don't want to hear or know about God. But rather chasten them or correct them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made visible by the light. For whatever does make visible light, wherefore he says, 'Awake you that sleep, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light.'" So brethren, we are to be showing the light of God in our life and how we are living and showing him thankfulness and gratitude. Not being blind and thinking that, oh, I don't have to expect anything from God. I can do this on myself. Verse 15, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." So the time he's showing here is short. The time is short. We need to be walking in the light of the Lord, not caught up in this world's confusion. Verse 16, he says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil," like we saw earlier in 2 Timothy. "The days are evil. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding that the will of God is. And do not be drunk with wine, which will ruin your lives, but be filled with the Spirit." Don't get caught up in the distractions of the world, like you feel great getting drunk. No. He says, "But be filled with the Spirit of God." Verse 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." How beautiful are the hymns that we sing every Sabbath. I just love it. And special music whenever we get to hear that during the year. It's so great to have that, those words and songs being sent out as praises to God. Verse 20, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God your Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." So whenever we're speaking to God in psalms and hymns and praising him and singing to him out loud. We're showing him thanks for everything that he has done for him in the name of the Father. Let's look at an example of gratitude here in David again in Psalms 116. Psalm 116. This is a chapter of how David acknowledged, in spite of his mistakes, how God has love and forgiveness. Because God raised him from where he was, raising sheep. He anointed him to be king of Israel. Then David was called a man after God's own heart, despite of the fact that he had committed adultery and murder. Yet how did God take care of him and love him? Psalm 116 and verse 12. He says here, how can I repay the Lord for all his blessings to me? Dropping down to verse 16. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant, that you have freed me from my chains, the things that were binding him all his time, that the things that he did, the guilt and the shame that he had for what he had done. Verse 17, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, the power of thanks, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. So however David knew, of course, how to repent in the beginning of Psalm 51. And his other psalms also express his repentant heart and thankful spirit in spite of his shortcomings. So God established everything in David's throne to provide him what he needed, what was going to be good. And again, most of David's psalms are thanksgiving and praise to God. Psalm 119 and verse 62, you don't have to turn there. It says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto you because of your righteous judgments. Because you didn't judge me unrighteously and curse me for what I did. You had righteous judgment and caring and knew that you would help me to see the need of repentance and change. So being king, he didn't lose sight of God's involvement in his life. He didn't say, I'm in control. I'm the king of this land. Now I can do it. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we can turn there. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 10. It says, David praised the Lord in presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, Lord, God of our fathers Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Verse 11, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. O Lord, yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all things. Verse 12, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, O our God, we give thanks to you and praise your glorious name. So all that David had after he made those sins and he had repented and then being the king all that time, he gave God the glory for everything that he had and all of us have, that it comes from God. So there's an example of gratitude from the Old Testament. Let's turn now to the book of John and see something in the New Testament of Jesus giving thanks for a blessing that had not received. John chapter 11. Now he came here to Bethany to raise Lazarus from the dead. And both sisters of Lazarus that were going to be there, of course, had told Jesus, if you were here, he would not have died. And if you read that, they told him separately. They didn't tell him saying it together. So he had to hear this twice. You know, if you had been here, he would not have died. And Jesus, again, while he was there now, he again groaning in himself because he loved the whole family, came to the grave, and it was a cave. And a stone was laid on it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was there, that dead, said to him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he's been dead for 4 days now in the grave. And Jesus said to her, said I not unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? A miracle? Verse 41. And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And earlier an earlier prayer that he had given, probably before when he found out that he was sick and dying, that he had prayed and asked God. He says, I thank you for the prayer that you had heard. Verse 42, and I knew that you hear me always, that he acknowledged that God always hears him. Because the people would stand by that I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. He said, I believe that you have heard me because now that people are going to see what I'm doing is coming from you, not just from him, to raise Lazarus. Verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go to return to human life, that he would be freed at that point. So, brethren, do we thank God whenever we ask him in prayer, knowing that whatever we're asking is going to be coming later? Jesus here prayed, shows us that he prayed for his Father constantly, day by day, knowing that everything he had and did was a blessing that he got from the Father when he was changed over to the human body. So do we see the blessings, brethren, in our lives? Do we see them? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. We see here the first blessing that we're going to just talk about a little bit here is that we are to be the bride of Christ, the first fruits. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many upper class are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. So again, the world is going to look at us as being foolish and weak because we're not like they are in what they're doing. Verse 28, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So, brethren, he's letting us know that we were called not because we were so great. It wasn't everything that we were doing that God said, oh, I have to call them now because what a great job they're doing. No. He called the foolish out of the world. We were called not because of anything except his love and concern to make us become the bride of his son. The second one is that we have the Spirit of God to understand his holy word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. As it is written, verse 9, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor heard, neither has entered into heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So, brethren, we have God's Spirit to understand what the rest of the world doesn't understand. They're blind. They can't see it. We have to be careful that we have our eyes open and cared for. God gives us the ability not to only understand, but to have a power to overcome and develop the character of Christ. A third item is that it provides all of our needs that we have in our life. A fourth item is that we have the Word of God that guides our path. If we're reading that Bible every day, we'll see that those things are in there that help us to know which way to go, what direction. A fifth item is that we have God's protection, that he is there to care for us under any circumstance in our life. These are the blessings, brethren, that we have to see that God is making available for us. A sixth one is that God's help and intervention for our problems. He's there, whatever the problem is. Do we see that? Are we showing the gratitude to know that? Is that in our prayers that we are asking him for all of our help and our needs? And the last one is that he answers our prayers. This is a blessing, that he's answering our prayers. Don't take it for granted that he's doing that. Let's turn over to one last verse, Psalm 100, verse 1. One last scripture here. Psalm 100 and verse 1. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come to his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So we see here, brethren, David has a psalm of thanksgiving, that we make a joyful noise to God in giving him thanks. So let's take seriously, brethren, this subtle sin of ingratitude and replace it with the praise, the glory, the gratitude that we are to give God for all his love, his compassion, his kindness, his blessings that he provides for us as his first fruits.